Cool.
Right. So just through different programs and experiences, I would learn a lot from the elders talking to me when I would, like, for example, I was teaching the kids about the water cycle, and at the end, the elder stood up and said, well, Ian's just taught you about the rainbow serpent dreaming. And it made me start to link science to their cultural stories. The rainbow serpent dreaming, or the rainbow serpent stories, is about protecting the water cycle. So, you know, I started to link science and their perspective of science. I'm not sure how to say it. They're both science. They're just different perspectives. And so I started to build this understanding of indigenous ecology, I guess you'd call it. And that was based on what I call survival of the most cooperative. In other words, that everything, but particularly the environment, is a complex network of relationships. Whereas what I was taught in all of my training was that I was looking at the environment as individual entities all in competition with each other. And they're two opposite philosophies, and you can't come to the same conclusions from the two different perspectives.
Mm.
And so, yeah, so I'm starting to gather this information from Aboriginal people, and then suddenly, I'm starting to get concepts of what they were doing in rivers, building fish traps and fish weirs, but starting to realise they were raising ground tables and things like that. And then I saw Peter Andrews doing a talk on how he weirs rivers and raises ground tables, and I thought, okay, I'll go and have a look at this. And what I pictured the Aboriginals might have been doing, there was Peter Andrews actually doing it, and rehydrating landscapes, and what you might call an in-ground irrigation system, or a hydroponic system almost, where he now uses the flow of the ground table to move nutrients and fertilise floodplains and all sorts of stuff.
Can you repeat that? Use the ground table?
Use the flow of the ground table to transport, or use water in general to move and transport nutrients, and then move nutrients back to the high ground. So it's a bit of a long process. That might be another conversation. But it's about returning the natural cycles to the landscape. And in certain ones you may not be able to. So, for example, nutrients return to the high ground through the food chain. So if there isn't a complex food chain to be able to do that, a farmer may have to slash his wetlands when they dry out and take that straw to the high points of his floodplain so that that can then break down and be returned back through the system.
Can you repeat that?
If there's no complex food chain, which there isn't on most farms today...
Yeah.
The farmer would have to then take certain roles that the environment can't yet cover. And if there was not the complex food chain to waters continually bringing nutrients downhill, something needs to return it back to the top or the hills become depleted, it's the food chain that returns the nutrients back to the high ground. And if that food chain is absent, then one of the techniques that Peter uses on farms is he replicates that by slashing the low grounds after wet periods or slashing wetlands when they dry out, and taking that nutrient to the high ground as mulch.
Right.
And he's now creating, artificially replicating that natural cycle of the nutrient eventually accumulating in the wetlands and the low points in the floodplain, producing a lot of growth that can then be slashed and returned back to the high ground when it all dries out. And then
that sounds like a lot of work.
It's not a lot of work. You're now considering that there's no tilling, there's no turning, there's no pest control, there's no fertilising. There's no spreading of compost and manures. There's where the labour was. Now I can spend a bit more time doing what nature needs, you know, and nature does most of those cycles for you. It's just some that a farmer would have to do, or would have to contribute to. And returning the nutrients to the high ground at this point is one that the farmer would have to contribute to.
So how does this contribute to climate change mitigation?
Well, that all comes down to the way the rivers are repaired.